right, welcome to part four of our series, My Best Friend. Good to see all of you here. And also, let me say right now that we're so delighted to have those that are just now joining us online. Come on, let's give it up for all those that are joining us online. Good to have you along for the ride. Let me say before I say anything else, again, a shout out to all the moms, all the mothers. We're so thankful for you, and we honor you this day. I was just telling my kids yesterday, you have those moments that you just need to be a father. And I had a moment where I was saying, honor your mother. And I said, you want to live long or what? You know, it sounded like I was going to take you out. But, I mean, there's a promise attached to that. And I said, and by the way, that's a commandment. That's one of the top 10, y'all. Honor your mother and your father, that the days on this earth may be long that the Lord your God gave you. So, you want to live a long life? Honor mom. So, anyway, we're so delighted to honor the mothers today. With that, let me just say that there's many definitions to the word mother, okay? So I know this is a very sensitive day, very heartfelt day, and sometimes just a very emotional day. So there are biological mothers. There are mothers that are stepmothers. There are mothers that adopt children. There are mothers that actually reproduce spiritually, their spiritual reproduction. I just believe that women have this power to reproduce. And it may be biological and it may be otherwise, but I'm telling you, you women, you're awesome. You're awesome. I know some of you on this day that, yeah, come on, yeah, yes. And let me just say that, and some, for some of you, you're struggling because your mother is no longer with you, or maybe it's your wife that's no longer with you. But I want to tell you, because these mothers have the power to produce and bear fruit, and that fruit, I believe, lives on. Amen. And I believe the investments that our mothers have made, that women have made into our life, has the power to live on. So their influence is still with us today and lives with us. Amen. And so again, I just honor women. You're amazing creatures, and I just say, whoa, man! I mean, whoa! I mean, I don't know how you do what you do. My mother was always a multitasker. I don't know, back before there was even a term multitasking. You know, the phone, the doorbell, the kids, the dogs, everything, all at the same time. And then I'd say something to her, and I'd say, Mom, are you listening? Sure, I'm listening to you. I heard every word you said. And I mean, it's super mom, you know, super mom. So anyway, I just want to honor you mothers so much. And a great big shout out to all of you here and all of you watching online. We love you and thank God for you. Mothers are a gift. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Not necessarily the gift of motherhood, but the gifts that God gives us. And we're in this series of we're calling it My Best Friend. And it's really the topic of the Holy Spirit, with the hopes that you'll get to know Him and that you'll discover that He is your best friend. For some of you, your mom's your best friend. I think that's awesome. But I want to tell you, there's a wonderful intimacy that God wants to have with us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I think we've kind of at times distanced ourselves from this topic, and because we kind of get who God the Father is, God the Son is, but we need to really understand that in this Trinity of the Godhead, there is the person of the Holy Spirit that God wants us to know. So I want to begin with this scripture that I've shared with you in this series. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14 that puts it this way: the amazing grace of the Master, Jesus Christ. And so it all begins there. We want to have this relationship with Jesus. And then because we have that relationship with Him, we now can understand and know the extravagant love of God the Father. And then also then that third part, though, is the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And so that is our prayer, and that you'll know Jesus, that you'll experience the love of the Father, but you also encounter the incredible friendship of the Holy Spirit. I'm praying that we present this in such a way that this becomes a topic that you are comfortable with, because oftentimes people are very uncomfortable with this topic. We've heard things and we think, well, it's just some cosmic, mystic force out there that I can't really understand. I've seen and heard some things perhaps in my own church experiences or on television or whatever, and I think this is strange. I'm just going to distance myself with that. I'm good with God the Father, God the Son. That's okay. I don't need this Holy Ghost thing because I don't do ghosts. But I want you to know that the Bible is very, very good about what it says about the Holy Spirit, and everything He has for us is good. Jesus, before He was leaving this earth, He emphasized so strongly that you need the Holy Spirit, and He is coming. Jesus wasn't going to leave us alone. And so I pray that this is a series that's going to help us get close to Him. In week one, we talked about who He is, and He's not an it. He's a person, the person of the Godhead. In the Greek, Jesus referred to Him as parakletos, which means comforter or counselor or helper or literally somebody that's going to come right along beside you. The next week, week two, we talked about that He is fresh air to us, that when you look at the word Spirit in the Old Testament, it's the word ruach, and in the New Testament, it's the word pneuma, which simply means a breath of air. And that God just wants to breathe fresh air into us. I was out with Kim last night, and we sat outside this restaurant, and we got out there, and I said, oh, did you feel that? It was a nice, gentle breeze, and it just felt so good. And I believe that's what the Holy Spirit wants to be to us, is to breathe life into us. He doesn't want just our experience with God just to be some dry, dead church dogma that's doctrinal, that's religious, that's cold, that's stale. Come on, the church of the refrigerator, you know, congregate. No, He wants this thing to be alive, and that's what the Holy Spirit does. He breathes life into the Word of God and gives us the power for it to be fulfilled in our life. And then last week we talked about being filled with the Spirit, and we talked about three baptisms, right? The baptism into the body of Christ, water baptism, and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And if you missed any of these, I encourage you to go online and look at those. There are notes there that you can download. And today, if you're watching online, there are notes already there that you can look at and follow along with us. I encourage you today, as we get into this, pull out your message notes out of your worship guide. We're going to have some blanks for you to fill in. I believe it's going to be a thing that's really going to help us today, that's going to be maybe a little teachy, but I actually think it's going to bring some clarity, I'm hoping, by the Spirit of God illuminating our hearts and helping us understand what the Word of God teaches regarding this subject, because we're going to talk about today the gifts of the Spirit, spiritual gifts. And I want to begin by giving you this scripture that says this: if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask Him? So God gives us gifts, and I want to talk about three categories, three types of gifts that we see in the Bible. And the first one is this. Number one, it is the gift of eternal life. Eternal life. I believe this is the greatest gift that you could ever receive, is the gift of eternal life. It is that gift that we receive from Jesus, nothing we did of our own. It is a free gift where He went to the cross to pay for our sins for us. Hell is a place where you go to make payment for your sins. But why would you go there to pay for your sins when your sins have already been paid for on the cross, where Jesus died on the cross for us and made full payment for us? It's a free gift of eternal life. For Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 says this: for the wages of sin is death. That's the payment for sin. It's going to cost you death. You're going to die because of sin. But the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. It is the gift of God that He gives to us. And so it's the gift of eternal life, and it's the only gift, let me just say this, it's the only gift that you need to get into heaven. What Jesus did on the cross took care of everything that you need, and that is that to get into heaven, and that is the gift of eternal life. But then there is another gift, and that is the gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit. So after the crucifixion and after the resurrection, sins were paid for. And Jesus talked about this gift after His resurrection, that you're going to receive the Holy Spirit, and that we're to tarry until you receive this gift. In Acts chapter 1, He was eating with the disciples, and He gave them this command. And the Scripture calls this a command. And He says this. It's found in Acts chapter 1, verse 4. It says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift My Father promised, which you have heard Me speak about. For John baptized with water. Again, that's a baptism we talked about last week. But in a few days, this is different, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And so he gives this as a separate gift. And I believe there's a reason why he gives this as a separate gift from the gift of eternal life, because intentionally, I believe God didn't want anything to be confused with that first gift. So the first gift, listen to this, the first gift settles eternity. But the second gift is about living on this earth. And it's another experience. It gives us the power to be successful. And what's sad is a lot of Christians have opened the first gift, but they've never opened the second gift. And that gift is available to every believer, the gift of the Holy Spirit. But then notice that we're talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit, but then there's spiritual gifts. That's the third area I want you to look at with me, and it's the gifts with an S, the gifts of the Spirit. And Romans chapter 12 and verse 6 says that we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. And so there's that word gifts. And that word gifts literally is the word charis. That's where we get the word charisma or charismatic. Sometimes we hear the word charismatic. We know somebody has a charismatic personality. Sometimes we hear of churches that are charismatic, and we all kind of get scared. Okay, what's this charismatic thing? Well, it literally means gift, is what it means. It's a grace gift. And what he's saying here is that God has given us unique divine abilities, and these are our gifts. And so, there's that word charismatic or charisma. Sometimes we get a little scared about that because we've heard it associated with some things that we're not so sure about. We hear the word charismatic. You think we're going to bring out snakes. No, that's not what this is about, okay? So I want to just settle your mind, just relax and understand really what the Bible says about this and not put up any barriers, because the Bible really wants to give us some gifts. And every gift that God gives us is good. And they're biblical. They're in the Bible. There are gifts that are given to be functioning in the body of Christ. And in the early church, there was actually, in some of these churches that were being planted, there was some abuse about the gifts. Some misusing gifts, abusing these gifts. And Paul planted a church in Corinth that received the Holy Spirit and that was a bit out of control. And he wrote about how these gifts were to operate in the church. And I encourage you to research that. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, chapter 13, and chapter 14. But he starts this way in that first chapter, in chapter 12 of that topic, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, and he says this, "Now, about spiritual gifts, brothers, I would not want you to be ignorant." So I think sometimes we say, well, that's just too, that topic's too confusing, I'm going to focus on other things. Well, Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant about this. I want you to understand what the Bible truly says about this. And I think sometimes we're out of control on both sides. There's some people that are extreme about one particular gift, and there's others that are extremely way away on the other side saying, I don't want to, that's of the devil, and I don't want anything to do with that. And so I think there's a balance. The question would be, are spiritual gifts for today? There is a doctrine that's cessationalist, which means to cease, and that is that they believe that the Bible, that it stopped with the apostles, that gifts died out. It was only there to get the church started. The only problem with that, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible doesn't say that. The fact, Peter said, this promise of the Holy Spirit is for you and your children and for all who are afar off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. In fact, Jesus even said, most assuredly I tell you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. And he said, it's expedient, it's important that I go to the Father, because if I go to the Father, I'm going to pray the Holy Spirit, and he's going to come, and he's going to give you power to carry out this mission that I've called you to do on this earth. So there's a lot of people that believe also that gifts are for today. And we do. We believe that gifts are for today. And the argument doesn't really usually center around all the gifts of the Spirit. Usually there are about one particular gift that the arguments center around. And so we're okay with the gift of mercy. You know, pastors are very much about the gift of giving. They like that gift. You know, that's for today. Yeah, that's for today, right? or the gift of faith. We believe that there's a gift. There's a gift of faith. My father had surgery this week, and I text a prayer to my whole family and how that God give us the gift of faith to believe as you would be pleased with us. So we believe in that. But the argument oftentimes centers around this thing, and some of you don't, let me scare you off. This is biblical. It's in the Bible, and it's the gift of tongues, the gift of tongues. And so you have one group that says, well, that's of the devil. And then you have another group that says, oh, you got to speak in tongues to go to heaven. You got to speak in another language as the Spirit enables you, you know, to go to heaven. And I would just encourage you that to avoid both of those extremes, all right? But in the Bible does come and talk to us about tongues. And when we talk about tongues, that term tongues, we mean tongue. Well, it's talking about being able to speak in a language that you don't normally speak in, okay? It could be a different language that we know. It could also be a heavenly language that God gives us. And when the Bible talks about this, it talks about it in two different ways, two different forms. One is a personal prayer language, and it's beautiful. You know, my hope would be for you in your prayer time that you would be, that the Holy Spirit would pray in this heavenly language through you every day. Because there's a purpose in it. It edifies you. And also the Bible says we don't know how to pray at times, and the Holy Spirit prays through us. It's a beautiful thing. It's in Scripture. Paul talks about it to a great extent in the Bible, and says, I speak in tongues more than you all. But yet, he said, there's a balance. We'll talk about that. And then there is the Spirit. Another form of tongues is the spiritual gift, or the gift of tongues. And so, so I want us to see this. And when we talk about the Holy Spirit and coming in this prayer language, just want to give you some things. And these are not in your notes, but just before service, I thought I need to just throw a little bit of this out for you to just give you some context when we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 15, and just write these locations down if you would. John chapter 15 and verse 26 says, Jesus said, and when the advocate comes, whom I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify of me. So he's going to speak of me. He's going to testify of me. And in Acts chapter 2 and verse 4, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit was poured out and the church was launched, here's one of the manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, I would say that was the only thing that happened initially. The Spirit began to speak through them, but there was also great boldness that came with that. I believe there was also great love that was given out, because we know that we're not talking about this today. We can't talk about all this. It's a big subject, but there's the gifts of the Spirit. There's also the fruit of the Spirit, and it always begins with love, right? Love, joy, peace, okay? So there's the gifts of the Spirit. But we see that this was a manifestation that happened. They began to speak in tongues as the Spirit gave them, enabled them. And then you say, well, that was just then, that was initially. But then you look on later in the 10th chapter of Acts. Peter was instructed by the Lord to go to the house of Cornelius, which was of the Gentiles. It wasn't of the Jewish nation. And he was questioning, why would I want to go there? This is for us, not for them. And God told them, no, this is to everyone. And so he went to the house of Cornelius, and they had received Jesus. They were believers. They had believed on Jesus. And look at what happened as he began to explain about what was going on and just preaching truth to them of Jesus. Look at what happened in Acts chapter 10, verses 44 through 46. So write that one down. Acts 10, verses 44 through 46. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. And the circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles. Well, how do they know that? For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. And then Peter went on to say, well, wow, my goodness, they've come to the Lord. Well, let's get them water baptized. So they did water baptism after they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So it's right there. And let me give you one more. It's then found in Acts chapter 19. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they answered, no, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Now, they were believers. They were followers of Christ. And yet, Paul was explaining something different was happening. So Paul asked John's John's baptism, or Paul said John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. We talked about that last week. And he told the people to believe in the one who coming after him, that is in Jesus. And on hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord, Jesus, water baptism, right? That's the second baptism. And when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied, and there were about 12 men in all. So there it is again in the 19th chapter of Acts. What I'm saying is we're still a continuation of the book of Acts. So there is this prayer language that God gives, but then there is also this gift of these gifts of the Spirit that comes as well. And I just want to be clear that the gift of tongues is not the only gift, okay? And I think we've made this thing all about that. And I think, honestly, it's a trick of the enemy to get people so scared off, saying, wait, what is that? And they just empty out the churches, leave the church. And really, when this is really biblical. And so, as I said at the beginning of this series, give us a clean slate. And just look at what God's Word says. Actually, in the New Testament, there's probably 25 to 27 gifts that are listed in the New Testament. And tongues is one, yes, but it shouldn't be focused just on that one. Again, I think the enemy has hijacked this thing to keep the Holy Spirit out of the church today by getting people to be focused on one aspect of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is more than just tongues. Amen? All right. So at the same time, I don't think it should be avoided either. I think we should take the word for what the word says about it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 11 says, all these, talking about the gifts, are the work of one and the same Spirit, and He gives them to each one just as He determines. So personally, it shouldn't be avoided or abused. And I would be careful about saying anything about the Holy Spirit in a repulsive kind of way. And I've got more scriptures here, and I won't take time to go into them, but Jesus, at one point in His ministry, He got pretty explicit about this and explaining about this thing of actually blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. We need to be very careful with that. I would just remind you that every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning, according to James chapter 1:17. So all He has for us is good. If the Holy Spirit has anything for you, trust me, or rather trust the Word, and trust what Jesus said about it, it's good. And so I think sometimes we made it all about that. I think sometimes we made church services all about that. And I was raised up in this thing. I think I got a right to speak to this. But I think at times we've made services all about that. But Paul speaks to that. And he says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 23. He says, so if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues and some do not understand or some unbelievers come in, will they not say that you're out of your mind? And so Paul was saying, look, you've made it all about this and you're scaring people off that don't even know who Jesus is. Okay? And you made it all about this, and we need some guidance for that. And so that's why our focus on Sunday morning is about people coming to know Jesus. Why? Because we want to attract unbelievers. We want to attract people that don't know if there is a God. We want to attract people who don't even know about this church or thing or any of this. And they want to come in and check this out. And what I believe our responsibility is, through the power of the Holy Spirit, because He's the one that draws people to Christ in that personal relationship and offers that first gift of eternal life to them, that we present the message of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. And I believe that's what Sunday morning is all about. Amen? Come on. So and Paul said this. There's a time and place for all things. And I think sometimes there needs to be some counsel there on that. So here's the point of that. When we come together, we don't come together for us. We come together because we are a church on a mission. There's times to get together for us. That's small groups. There's time to get together and have a believer service just for us. That's good. But listen, when we come together on Sunday morning here at Crosspoint, we come together not for us. We come together because we're a church on a mission. A mission to make a difference in our city and in our world. And the Bible says that we need to be, honestly, what Paul was saying, what the Bible is saying is that we need to be sensitive to those who don't understand or do not believe. And I think we, honestly, I have grew up with an attitude, well, if they don't like it, let them find another church. Or, you know, they just have to adapt to who we are. But what I see is Paul said, I have become all things to all men that I might win some to Christ. Amen? So I just think there needs to be an order to things. And all of this has place, and Paul's giving order and place to this. But the purpose of the church, the purpose of the Holy Spirit, is so that we win people to Christ. Amen? And I think we got to be careful that we don't lose sight of that. And so, I mean, I love it. The Bible teaches us and gives us guidelines for the church, and he's teaching us how to behave. He really is. And Paul says, listen to this. No, don't misunderstand. Paul says, I speak in tongues more than all of you. So he wasn't against that, but he is telling us that God is more concerned about people coming to Christ than he is about each of us doing our own thing. Is this good? All right. Breathe in, breathe out. Wax on, wax off. Whoo, all right, we're good. I just want you to understand, the Holy Spirit is good, and he simply wants to be your best friend. He wants to come alongside of you. He wants to help you. You know, when Jesus came to this earth, he was rejected at the inn, remember? There was no room for him at the inn when he was born. Then he gave that gospel in the nutshell, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that if only begotten son, that whosoever would believe on him would not perish but have everlasting life. But he goes on to say that there are many that will reject him, that they would rather have the darkness and reject him. But yet he offers himself as a gift, and God gave Jesus as a gift. And to him, those that receive him, the Bible says, to them he gives them the power to become the children of God, with those that receive that eternal gift. Well, the Holy Spirit also then is a gift sent from the Father. So we know we're not supposed to reject Jesus. Well, neither are we supposed to reject the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a gift that is given to us from the Father. And then, having received the gift of the Holy Spirit, there are gifts of the Holy Spirit that he gives to us. How about this scripture? Let me give you this one. I pause there because I'm skipping some lot to this. Aren't you thankful I'm skipping some scripture, because we'll be here all day on this. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 1 says this: follow the way of love. And by the way, that supersedes everything. Everything operates through love. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Now, that was Paul's encouragement. He said that you shouldn't just distance yourself from this, but you should actually, Paul is saying, this is the Bible. I didn't say this. I didn't write this. Paul wrote this. He said that you should eagerly desire spiritual gifts. So we need to pray, God, give me the spiritual gifts that you have for me. And God has a purpose for giving us each of these gifts. We need to pray every day for spiritual gifts, right, that God would give us. And all of us have different gifts. Amen? We have different gifts. I heard the story. This is Mother's Day. I probably shouldn't tell this on Mother's Day, but I heard the story of this lady in the church. She thought she had the gift of cooking, but she did not have the gift of cooking. And this pastor, she would always bring this pastor her what she thought was gifts and, you know, different things to eat, and it was terrible, terrible. And so what he did was he named his garbage disposal spot, the spot. So when she would come up later and say, so how was my casserole? And he'd say, oh, sister, it hit the spot. I know that's cruel, but we all have gifts. You know, I think that's funny. I don't care what you say. But anyway, we all have gifts. The Holy Spirit gives us gifts, and each one of us have different kinds of gifts. So write this down as we talk about how that the Holy Spirit wants to be our friend. Number one, his gifts are unique. His gifts are unique. So, he has custom gifts for you. So don't confuse what kind of gift you've got. The Holy Spirit wants to give you gifts that are unique for you. Let me give you this scripture that's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says this: there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Notice three times he said that there are different gifts. So God has a unique, customized gift for you because, first of all, He knows what His purpose for you is on this earth, and He's going to give you a gift that matches your purpose. You were designed for a purpose. God didn't just make you and say, well, now He's here, she's here, what am I going to do with them now? No, before you were born, God knew you, and He had a purpose in mind for you to do and fulfill on this earth. And God's going to give you gifts according to that. And so you can see them oftentimes in operation. I mean, like for instance, talking about moms today, you know, my mother, when she was a little girl, she had this milk in her hands. I think it was buttermilk. Anybody like buttermilk? Anybody know what buttermilk is? Anyway, I may have that wrong, but all I know was a bottle of milk, and it was in his glass containers. Back then, they had glass bottles. My dad, one time, he delivered milk in his milk trucks, and they'd come to your door and do the milk routes and deliver them in bottles. But she was taking this milk, and she was shaking it up, right? You know how you shake it up. You shake it up like this when you're little, and you're holding it, and you're shaking it, and it slipped out of her hand, and it busted all over the floor. It was everywhere, and she was crying. And her mother came up to her, and she said, "Honey, there's no sense crying over spilt milk." Can I tell you, that saved me a lot of whoopings, because many times I'd do something wrong, and my parents were biblical examples to me. My dad was the Old Testament. He was the law. My mom was the New Testament. She was grace. Thank you, Jesus. And my dad would be ready to, and my mom would say, "No sense crying over spilt milk." Well, there's people that have different gifts over a situation like that. There's some that have the gift of mercy. No sense crying over spilt milk. There's others that have the gift of preaching. You shouldn't have done that. What'd you do that for? You know, there's others that have the gift of serving. Well, let me just help pick that up. There's others that have the gift of teaching. Well, you know, maybe if you would have held on to that a little bit tighter, or maybe you wouldn't have done it quite that way. Or maybe there's those that have the gift of exhortation. You know, well, here, let's see what we can do about this, and let's see what we can learn from this situation, and let's encourage you that next time. Right, there's different gifts that we all have. And around here, we want you to discover your gifts. That's why we have this thing of the growth track. We want to help you do a personality assessment and a gift assessment and see what gifts God's given you so that you understand what your function is in the body of Christ and so that you'll be fulfilled in doing the right thing and doing your purpose. And when you do the thing that you're called to do and you're gifted to do, it works. It works. And you enjoy it and it's fun. And now instead of it being a volunteer thing where I got to do that, no, it's a I want to do that. It's a get to instead of a got to, right? It changes everything, and that's why I encourage you, get on the growth track. If any of you have not got on the growth track, I encourage you, get on the growth track, go through the growth track, let us help you discover the gifts that God has given you. But His gifts are unique. Number two, His gifts are needed. His gifts are needed. I mean, you need them. It's not for heaven, but it's for here, but we need them here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 27 says, "Now all of you together are Christ's body, and each one of you is a separate and necessary part of it." You're all necessary. We need you. The body of Christ needs you, right? But you need these gifts working in your life to fulfill what God's called you to do. And there's no big eyes or little you. Every part is extremely necessary. So we need this in functioning in our gifts. Let me give you a third one as we move on quickly. His gifts are fulfilling. His gifts are fulfilling. When you operate in this, you'll say, "This is what I was made for. I love this." Can I tell you this? It's not only fulfilling, it becomes fun. It's enjoyable. The happiest people I know are the people that know what gifts God's given them and they're operating in it. That's the happiest people I know. So His gifts are fulfilling. John chapter 15 verse 8 says this, "This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Verse 11 says, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." One translation says full. Don't you love it? I want to be full of joy. So God has given us these things and wants us to operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus was talking about abiding in Him and He and us, and He was talking there about the Holy Spirit coming as well. And so He gives us this so that our joy will be full. And I can just say this, you're never going to be happy until you're doing something that makes a difference for eternity. You're happiest when you have made this connection with the Holy Spirit. You receive the gifts the gift of the Holy Spirit and the gifts that the Holy Spirit wants us to operate in and then go out and make a difference in the world. Number four, His gifts touch other people's lives. See, I believe we've got to be careful because there's a lot of people that want to connect with the Holy Spirit because of the way it makes them feel. And they're missing the point. The Holy Spirit is not given for your personal entertainment. Yes, the Holy Spirit does come and edify us and builds us up and builds us up on the inside. It builds up our faith. But the purpose of that is that so we will live for Him and carry out His mission to lost people. I need a good amen right there. Amen. You know, is it an infilling, F-I-L-L-I-N-G, or is it an infilling, F-E-E-L-I-N-G? Nothing wrong with feeling. I'm glad we can feel this thing. It's good to know and feel this thing that's working in us, right? But the purpose of it is not just for Holy Spirit goosebumps, just for ourselves. No, at the end of the day, the Holy Spirit is about giving us a gift that we can use to impact another person's life. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10 says, God has given gifts to each of you from His great variety of spiritual gifts. Manage them well so that God's generosity, look at this, I love this, can flow through you. So it's not, oh, I got this gift. Boy, I got a gift. Man, what kind of gift do you have? You know, I got this gift. And as if they possess it and they do whatever they want to with it. I don't believe it works that way. I don't believe we own the gifts. I believe the gifts are really God, but He chooses to use these gifts in us and through us for His glory and His purpose. And that's what the Scripture is saying here. Manage them well so that God's generosity can flow through you to serve one another. I believe one day we're going to stand before God and we're going to have a two-question test. The first question will be, what did you do with my son? And depending on what you answer with that determines whether you get to the second question. And the answer can't be, well, I talked about him, I sung songs about him, I went to church and did all those things and activities. But the answer needs to be, I'm in a relationship with your son. I'm going to help you with the answers, okay? All right? The answer needs to be, I'm in a relationship with your son. I knew him and he knows me. That's the correct answer, and that gets us into heaven. But then, if we answer that correctly, there's a second question that's going to be presented to us, and it's at what we call a second judgment, which is the judgment seat of Christ. And that's really what today's topic is about. And that is, while you're here on this earth, I gave you some gifts. What did you do with the gifts? And that's going to determine some eternal rewards. That's going to determine what your heaven's going to look like. All right? So once you come to Christ, it's all about connecting with the Holy Spirit and letting Him give you gifts so that you can impact the world. That's the purpose of the Holy Spirit. Let me give you this definition. Write this down in your notes. A spiritual gift is a special, supernatural ability that God gives to each of His children so that they together can advance His purposes in this world. And that's the focus. It's to advance His purposes in this world. So I want to ask you today that first question. The first question is, what have you done with Jesus, the Son of God? If the answer is, well, I know He is, I sing about Him, and I have this book about Him. If you can't say, I know Him, I'm in an intimate relationship with Him, I really believe you need to do that today. I want to give you a scripture that's not in your notes, but it's found in Matthew chapter 7. And it's really a scripture to ponder. Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles. Sounds like church folks, doesn't it? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. The most important answer that you'll ever need before you stand before God is Yes, I know him. And he knows me. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? And if you're watching online, just take a moment today just to be still and just consider this. I want to pray for those that would say, Theron, I know about God, but I don't think that I really know him. I certainly don't think that he would know me, and today I'd like to be in that close relationship with him. I want to be in intimate relationship with God, and I want to know Jesus and him to come into my life and change me. For some of you, it may be the very first time that you prayed that kind of prayer or made that kind of commitment of surrender. For others, you may have made that decision, but honestly, you've walked away from it. You've given your heart and your affection to other things, other loves, and he's not your priority relationship. You need to reorder your list so that he's not just on the list, but he's at the top of the list. So while your heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I got to ask you this question. Do you know him? I'm not going to have you stand up or come to the front. Right where you're sitting, right where you are, maybe you're right there watching on your phone or on your computer. But you're saying today in your heart, that's where I am. And I'm ready to make that decision. The Holy Spirit's knocking on the door of my heart, and I need to respond to him. I would encourage you to let this be the day that you get close to God and give Jesus your life and surrender to him. If that's you today, you say, I need to make that decision today. I want to lead you in a prayer of commitment, a prayer of surrender. What a more beautiful day to do this than on Mother's Day. Mothers birth things into our lives. You know, they have this. Have this reproduction ability, this ability to produce life. I tell you, that's given by God. And God just wants to produce life inside of you today. He wants things to come alive again. Maybe they were, but no longer. But Jesus comes to breathe new life into you, that breath of fresh air. So today, if you're here and you need to make a commitment, maybe it's the first time, or whatever that looks like for you, or you're coming back, or you just need to reaffirm your faith in him, but that's you. Say, Pastor, when you pray that prayer, would you count me in that prayer? Would you include me? Right now, my heads are bowed, eyes closed. You just slip up a hand, and you put it right back down. I just want to know who I'm praying with. Just slip up a hand very quickly, and put it right back down. God bless you today. God bless you. God bless you. If you're watching online, join with us as we pray this prayer. I'm going to help just lead us in a prayer. You just mean it. I'm going to lead it. Just pray it from your heart. Just pray a prayer like this. Just say, today, Lord Jesus. Come on, everybody, pray it out loud for support, if you would. For those that need to pray it. Come on, say it again. Today, Lord Jesus, I surrender my life. I give my heart to you. Forgive me for going my own way. For putting other things ahead of you. Today, I want you to be first in my life. Number one, I turn from my way and I follow you. I accept the gift of eternal life that you paid for on the cross when you paid my sin debt. By faith, I receive that. Forgive me, cleanse me, and make me brand new on the inside. Today I declare you as the Lord of my life. And with all of my heart, I will follow you all the days of my life. Lord, I thank you for every person who just prayed that prayer, and I celebrate with them, God. I celebrate what you've done for them, and I celebrate with all of heaven. And God, I pray now, God, that your Holy Spirit, God, and everything you have for them, God, that they would just be open and receive that. That you would come into their life, Holy Spirit, and just guide them. Lord, help them to follow Jesus and go on to know all there is, Lord, or to know, go on to know the Lord, to go on to follow you fully with all their heart. I pray you guide them step by step, day by day. And I pray as a church, God, help us, Lord, God, to be gifted as you want us to be gifted, to be able to carry this thing out, to make an eternal difference, God. That we'll come together as a team, that every part working together in unity, God, to fulfill the great commission, Lord, of telling people about the hope of all hopes, God, the everlasting hope, the hope of Jesus Christ, the hope of the world, that it comes to change our lives, to pair that for us so that we can experience life and life to the fullest. God, we thank you for that. We give you all the praise for all that's accomplished. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Come on, let's thank God. Thank God for his word today. Amen. Thank God for changed lives today. Yes. Making the best decisions they could ever make. Amen.